ESPN, 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
How are we feeling today? Feel a little bit better? Tuesday, a day to move forward. Pelicans back in action. Here we are, your home for Pelicans basketball. Jordan Kleber with a fresh haircut. Got a fresh haircut today, huh?
Yesterday?
Last night?
I got it yesterday.
Yesterday? I thought you were going to go with the whole bangs thing, you know?
No.
You weren't going to go, somebody told you to cut the hair?
No, I just decided to cut it myself. It was getting a little out of hand.
Oh, a little out of hand. It was in your eyes a lot
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, and I had to wear a hat almost every day.
Okay, I got you. I hear you. 800-998-1003. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Gus. That's Jordan. Buddy, we'll take your phone calls over in the LaRose studios. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to give us a buzz and talk about a handful of discussions today in different topics. As you know, and if you've listened to the show the last 10 years, actually, now it's 11. I completely forgot, Jordan. January 10th. That is the first day, 2010, that the Sports Hangover started. So do the math, 11 years now.
11 years.
How did I forget that? Well, anyway, 11 years. Congratulations. So we got a lot to get into. We've always done this since the show started when the Saints season ends. The first day, that Monday, is a... It's a therapy day, right? Because unless you win the Super Bowl, it's... A season that, for whatever reason, or wherever your goals were that year, you didn't attain it. Obviously, you always want to win the Super Bowl. So, we'll talk about that. We'll continue. But also, what we like to do is we basically try to do what, you know, head coach Sean Payton and the rest of the folks over there do. And that is evaluate. Evaluate the team. Evaluate the roster. Make decisions. Look at here. Look at there. Look at everywhere. Right? So, we start with that today. And we start to kind of look back retrospectively, we kind of look back and see what we did and what you didn't do or what you would like, because you have to make decisions. Now you got time. The season's not over just yet, but the sooner you can kind of start thinking and wrapping your head around it, the better. Now, I get it. You got time. You're going to step away for a little bit but kind of get back at it, but you know Sean Payton and them already thinking. It's bittersweet. It's hard to look at, but you have some big decisions to make. And we talked about this yesterday already. Jordan, as opposed to seasons past, and I asked this to Larry yesterday, and I'll throw this out there to you as well. Is the salary cap or your roster the first thing you have to think about? Or is it both? Or is it the roster based on the salary cap, or the salary cap dictates your roster? Here's what I'm getting at. Remember Field Yates yesterday tweeted, the Saints are at 276 right now. That's in guaranteed cap money. 262 if Drew Brees retires. The cap in 2020 was 198.2. The projected cap floor was 175. Now this morning, Pro Football Talk, tweeting the good news. The salary cap may not drop all the way to $175 million in 2021. Bad news, it may still fall to $180, creating a huge mess for a lot of different teams. Okay? So, you got five more. The point is, the Saints are going to have to trim some fat. You have a lot of things to consider. You have a lot of things to think about. As Field Yates tweeted yesterday, you got some names that you have to, what are you going to do with Trey Hendrickson? Free agent. Safety Marcus Williams, free agent. Taysom Hill is your only quarterback under contract. Jameis Winston, it was a one-year deal. How much do you go with him if you want to bring him back? Defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, Jared Cook. Jordan, don't answer that.
All right. He gone.
Stop it. Anyway, don't shake your... It's move on. It's Tuesday. It's time to move on. But it's something to think about because, again, Ryan Ramczyk, got to give him a big deal. Lattimore, probably up for a contract extension. All these different things to kind of think of, right? Now, Jordan, you pulled up. We're going to talk to John Hendricks coming up at 2:15. Possible free agents, restricted free agents, things of that nature we're going to talk to him about. It's an interesting list, right? Where are you going to go? And Jordan's going to go over that in a quick second. Chris Blair is going to join us at 1:15. A big game for your LSU Fighting Tigers on the hardwood, Jordan, on the hardwood. You know what's coming up tonight at 8 o'clock? Take your nap. Take your nap. You don't tip off to 8, man. ESPN 2, 11-3 Alabama, 18th ranked in all the land. LSU, 10-2 not ranked, 5-1 in conference play. The Todd, 6-0 in SEC play. Time to turn our attention over to the hardwood and see how they're doing. Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, will join us at 1:15. Ty Graffanini, voice of the Pelicans, will join us at 1:05. Jordan, they are taking on the Utah Jazz in the first of two straight against them. You have a day off tomorrow, then you'll face them again in Utah like you're doing tonight on Thursday. Some news on the Pelicans, though, on the Pelicans front. What? Don't shake your head. Give the news, Jordan.
No, it's good news. Lonzo Ball upgraded to probable. Awesome.
Why the smirk? Wow. That sounded a little...
No, it's good news.
Sounded a little...
For some people.
Yeah?
Good news for some people.
See the GIF I sent this morning to you?
Oh, yeah, I did.
What was it?
It was of a donkey crying.
He was sad. A sad donkey. Lonzo, was this yesterday or shoot around this morning? What was
it? I think it was updated today.
Here's Lonzo and how he's feeling.
Went through practice for the first time today and felt good. So plan is definitely to play tomorrow.
So yesterday, it was Lonzo was listed as questionable and then updated today, like an hour ago.
Well, he said he planned to play tomorrow. So that was yesterday. That was my question.
It's upgraded to probable today. It was questionable yesterday.
All right, but that's what I'm saying. Yesterday, he said, I plan on playing tomorrow. So we'll see Lonzo Ball today. I don't know how to feel about this. Obviously, you want people healthy, and you want deeper benches and different play. I just kind of like Kyra Lewis.
I kind of
like Nikhil Alexander Walker.
He better keep it to less than one turnover.
So I'm just... Well, that's the thing that you just brought up, and it's something we'll talk to Andrew Lopez coming up at 12:15 here. I wonder how the minutes will go today. Just a simple question. Has Nikhil Alexander Walker earned, how would I say, distinguishable minutes?
Yes. Yes.
Has Kyra Lewis earned 10 minutes?
More minutes. I wouldn't put him ahead of Lonzo.
5-10?
I wouldn't put him ahead of Lonzo just yet. That's a little too premature.
Okay.
Wait. You're giving me the shake of the head now.
I didn't do anything. I was adjusting myself in my chair. That's all I'm doing.
You want Kyra to have more minutes than Lonzo now?
I'm just. How many turnovers both combined, by the way?
One.
I think if you plan on, because there's certain directions and ways you're going to go with this, right? For a guy like Lonzo Ball who needs a new deal, is he a tradable piece? Let's just start there. To be a tradable piece, Jordan, you kind of need to be a commodity that people want, right? So it behooves the Pelicans for Lonzo Ball to get going offensively this year. For Lonzo Ball to look good on the court, if that is the direction you want to go in. For Lonzo Ball, it behooves him to go on the court, play good defense, not turn the ball over, show he's improved shooting and scoring-wise, for him to get what, Jordan? New contract. Right? So it does behoove both parties for Lonzo Ball to get on the court, because I've already seen it on Twitter already. I've seen it on Twitter. Oh, no. There goes Kyra. There goes Nah minutes. And like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Van Gundy will approach this. Right? So we'll see how he approaches this. But I'll say this. I definitely think it can only help the team if he improves, right? Plays well and adds depth to this bench, because you need that. So we will see. We'll ask Andrew. We'll look at Todd for some of the keys to keep an eye on this Jazz team, which is very interesting. They're either going to shoot the lights out or, Jordan, they're not.
They're 9-4.
Yeah. So What's going to be interesting is this is a team that likes to shoot the three a ton. The Pelicans' defensive philosophy, Jordan, is go ahead and shoot the three.
Shoot it at will.
So we're going to see how that works tonight, right? We're going to see how that works today. But that's Andrew. Coming up bottom of the hour, Amy Just. We'll ask her our question of the day for the New Orleans Saints as we continue again to kind of move forward and look on. And, Jordan, it is the question of the day, if you remember.
Yeah, it's quite simple. Over the past couple of years, the Saints had good teams but failed to reach the big game. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a reason for that? Or is it just differs every season? Or, finally, is it just bad luck? You could comment or call in 800-998-1003, and I included a little stat that ESPN Stats and Info put out. Mm-hmm. One day ago, the Saints closed out a four-year span where they won 49 regular season games. That's the most wins in a four-year span by a team that failed to reach a Super Bowl, according to Elijah Sports.
It's a lot of wins. In that four-year span, right, the second, or as Drew Brees mentioned, he's been on three different teams with the Saints, right? The team that made the run to the Super Bowl there at 11, then you had Bounty Gate, and then 7-9 seasons. That was another team. As he mentioned, this four-year run. In this four-year run, that's a lot of wins. Again, we did this already towards the end of the season to an extent where I felt that this team was better fit to make a run this year, right? Deeper roster and all that stuff. Jordan, 17, 18, 19, 20. The question is, what has kept the Saints from going to the Super Bowl? Legitimately, I want you to think about it. Is it bad luck? Would you put bad luck as the reason? 17, you had to win Marcus Williams. 18,
you saw to beat the Eagles.
You had
though.
A flag. 19, you just, I don't know if you, how do you use bad luck in 19. This year, is it bad luck that injuries took place? We'll get to the latest with Michael Thomas and news with him today. But so I'm just saying, is bad luck what you're saying as to why this team in 17, 18, 19, and 20 did not get to the Super Bowl?
18, bad luck.
Okay. Well, these are the different options. Bad luck being one. Two, the NFL and the refs hate us. Do you want to go with that? I got that this morning. 17, I don't know, we'll figure out a way. There was a lot of holding calls. That team got a lot of penalties. 18, the no call. 19, the Rudolph push in the end zone. This year, I guess, I don't know how you, maybe the block in the back by Granderson. I didn't feel the refs really affected the game this year.
The cookout.
Option C, which is the one that I would probably take. Saints just weren't clutch enough and made plays. And 17, I've said it 100 times, they were terrible on third down. Like, they were awful on third down that season. They couldn't convert third downs to save their life. They wouldn't have been a Minnesota or Minneapolis miracle if they convert a third and one. They convert a third and one, they kick a field goal as time expires. In 18, they had injuries, but they didn't run. They really weren't a good running team that year. Rams made an adjustment with their D-line, and when they needed, they couldn't get short yardage, and they didn't make the right plays. Okay, the pass to, you know, Deontay Harris, I that's great, but I don't know. I felt that they just didn't make the plays. They didn't make enough plays. First two drives, hand gifted to you to blow out the Rams. Didn't make enough plays. Last year, you literally have no excuse to show up flat like you did against the Falcons. And then against the Vikings, you kind of showed up flat. Didn't make plays. And that goes on both sides, not just players, but front office. You went almost two seasons until this year that you got Emmanuel Sanders. You were looking for a second receiver. Now, it took a little bit for Traquan, but whatever, right? But again, that's kind of self-inflicted, I guess is what I'm getting at. And then this year, you had so much to play for at Philly, and you didn't show up in that half. And then this past Sunday, Jordan, again, had a chance at really good field position in that first kick return. You wind up with three. Fine, you live with it. The second time, you wind up with three. You drop the ball. That leads to a score for them. You just didn't make play. I would say, if I look at why this team hasn't made the Super Bowl when they've won 49 games in the last 4 years, is self-inflicted. Would you agree with me on that?
Agree. Simple as that.
Self-inflicted. We'll ask Amy here in a quick sec. Up next, though, Andrew Lopez. We'll talk Pelicans basketball. You can hear that tonight, 8 p.m., right here on ESPN New Orleans, where Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an action. Ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The new year is here. Aside from thankfully saying goodbye to 2020, it's time to say goodbye to the old you as well. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health. Last year, did you notice any physical changes in you? Reduced energy or libido, increased body fat, ED, brain fog? You know, it could be low T. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
What would you say you do here?
Sports. Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. We are home for Pelicans basketball. Andrew Lopez covers the Pelicans for ESPN. Good afternoon, Andrew. How are you, sir?
I am good. I am. I feel like I'm a little early today, but that's okay. You know what? That's fine.
Well, you know, Jordan couldn't wait. He said, enough of the Saints talk. He's still down and out. And he got a fresh haircut. He's trying to feel better today.
Ooh.
And he's ready for his Pels. But we're interested in how the Pels are going to take the court today. So let's just start there. The news yesterday, Lonzo said it himself. He expects to play today. You know how I feel. I love me Kyra Lewis. I love me Nikhil Alexander-Walker. One turnover and their time together on the court. They've been playing really well together. How do you think Stan Van Gundy handles Naw, Kyra, with Lonzo being able to be back?
Yeah, it's so Lonzo was just upgraded to probable, so he most likely will play tonight. I really don't know what he does with these minutes. When you look at it, you have Eric Bledsoe, Lonzo Ball, J.J. Redick, Kyra Lewis, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, all who are going to get minutes at the two. For the sake of this, let's put Josh Hart as a three right now. He's going to play backup 3-4 minutes. It's 96 minutes to go around. It's really not that much. Even if you put, you know, let's say Eric Bledsoe and Lonzo Ball play 28 each. JJ's probably going to play 20. I mean, at that point, do you just give all 20 minutes of that's left to Nikhil? I don't really think you want to go like 12-8 there. So I think for the time being, Maybe Kyrie is going to have to, you know, fall out of the rotation unless they get creative. And I really don't see how, when you still got to get B.I., you know, Zion and Adams get their minutes up top. I think Jackson kind of solidified himself. Mm-hmm. I think really what you see tonight is going to be maybe a 9-man rotation. Now, the only thing that would stop this is if Lonzo is on any sort of minutes restrictions, that could be possible. So maybe Lonzo only plays 20 tonight, and then that opens up a little bit of time for Kyra. But I think once they are full strength again, completely full strength, if no restrictions are on Zoe, I think Kyra's, you know, may fall out of the rotation again.
See, that doesn't make me happy, Andrew, but I guess if I look at...
I'm not here to make you happy.
No, I know you're not. I know. And look, and I tried to kind of tell myself, because there's certain ways to go with Lonzo here, and it behooves the Pelicans and him to play better this season, right? To show that he's improved in shooting from last year, to play the defense, to not have the turnovers he's had, because of two reasons. A, for him, if he wants a new contract, the better he plays, the more money he's going to get. And B, if the Pels want to trade him, the better he looks, the more they can get for him. Or C, if they want to keep him, it's because he's playing better. So while I want to see Kyra, believe me, I do, I understand, and I guess Lonzo needs to get going here.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I really do feel like the backcourt of the future for the Pelicans is Kyra and Nikhil, at least the way things are up right now. Both of them have a ways to go. Kyra needs to just play, and I think the thing with Kyra right now is he missed out on summer league. He missed out on a real training camp. So he's some of that, you know, he missed out on preseason games, a lot, you know, three or four of them. He would have been more ready for this moment if it was the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Nikhil has been cutting down on the turnovers. He's been more active on defense. I think he's earned his, you know, 18 to 20 minutes a game right now. Like you mentioned, I think you got to figure out what you want to do with Lonzo. Is Lonzo going to be the guy you move forward with, and maybe, you know, one of those Kyra and Nikhil becomes a backup guy of the future where you're still trusting him 20, 25 minutes a game or not. But he's got to get his shooting percentages back up. The good thing about this kind of resetting his body thing, if you will, last season, which I guess is now like 14 months ago of what I'm trying to bring up, he got hurt in November with an adductor issue in his first like five or six games of the Pels, and then went on to get that fixed. And he took him a while, and it took them to change his weight routine then for him to really feel like he could get going. That was when he went from, to a good player last year when he averaged the 13-8-8, shooting 42 from three or whatever it was. He felt better. Hopefully this is the case again, and he can get going kind of the same way, and where he kind of has that little in-season mini reset. And, again, you either find out that, hey, he's the guy that we're going to go with, or, hey, let's get his value up and possibly move him.
Speaking with Andrew Lopez, ESPN covers the Pelicans. So that's just one aspect of it to kind of look at it. And look, I look at this road trip, I think you were on too. I asked you what you realistically would like to see. Jordan and I went 3-3, you know, a 500 at least, kind of stay in and around there. So split this Jazz, you know, mini series here that you have, like in baseball, and then Andrew, win your last one, which again, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but if you want to be a team that it's at least a play-in playoff team, you got to beat the last place team in the Western Conference, which is Minnesota, over the weekend. So split one of these two, beat Minnesota, there's your 3-3. What have you thought about the first three games on this road trip? I thought they competed really well in L.A., and you saw that they were a little bit better than Sacramento, and they closed out. It was almost a mental thing there for a bit, but they closed out. What are your thoughts on the three games so far?
Yeah, I was impressed with them in that Clippers game. That was maybe the first loss of the year where I felt like they played hard. I mean, obviously they were without Zion, they were without Bled, they were without Lonzo, but they played hard and they made it a game late. It was a close thing. Obviously, Nikhil going nuclear helps when he scores 37. But you know, I didn't like their performance for the latter half or so of the Laker game. I think when they weren't hitting shots, I mean, that game should have been 15, 16, 17 points at halftime. And instead they were up by one. And you just kind of felt like, I texted the people during the game. I was like, it felt like the Lakers were running at like half capacity. And then they went in the locker room, realized they were trailing, and was like, oh, guys, we're the Lakers. And then came out, just destroyed them in the third quarter, which is what you saw. And then one problem this Pelicans team has is when they get punched in the mouth, they don't always respond. Now, fast forward to the Sacramento game, and it looked like they kind of responded to getting punched in the mouth a little bit. That's something you'd like to see growth-wise of this team. Now, Sacramento's defense is very, very, very – Jordan, give me another very.
Very.
Very bad. It is terrible. They were giving up 131 points in their last seven games before they played the Pels, and the Pels still hit the under on that. So you're going to still slow down your pace. You still scored 128 points at the season high, but I want to see you do it and get the offense going against a regular team again. I don't want to see you do it against a team that was giving up 130 to their last seven opponents. I think it's the second highest streak in NBA history of giving up 120 in eight straight games or whatever. Only like the Nuggets in 1991 gave up more, and those Nuggets were playing at a ridiculous pace where their final scores were in the 140s most nights. So the problem there is I just want to see that continue. It's going to be very hard, mm-hmm. especially against this Utah game. I'm looking at the defense specifically. Utah makes the most threes in the league per game. The Pels give up the most threes in the league per game. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an interesting
one. Yeah, I felt the same way, and I said it in the opening segment, Andrew, because that's the Pels' philosophy right now, isn't it? To say, hey, shoot them if you got them. And I wonder if they adjust that a little bit, or do you roll the die? I mean, they're either going to make them or they're not, I guess. I don't know.
To me, it's going to be very hard to not make any adjustments against this team who plays this way. I mean, you can do that against some teams. Utah makes you pay. And when they're hitting 16, 17 a game, and then you're going to give them open ones, you're going to give them easy looks, it could be rough. If they're going to have to change something, or it could be a rough few-day stretch here in Salt Lake.
One of the other aspects that I think is interesting, speak with Andrew Lopez, covers the Pelicans for ESPN here, about three more minutes. Is it just me? And I asked this yesterday, and Daniel Salison said it wasn't the amount of beverages I had on birthday weekend, but Jackson Hayes seems to be improving by the game. Huh? He looks more aggressive. He looks more assertive, kind of knows maybe a little bit better where he's going. Am I wrong on that? Has Jackson Hayes improved here in the last week and a half?
Jackson Hayes has not only, I think, improved here in the last week and a half, he's becoming a very good rotational player for you, which I did not see coming the way he was playing the first couple of weeks of the season. He's using his strength. That's a key. He's using his strength to in technique more, to start pushing guys around. His rebounding percentages are up. His rebounding numbers are huge. So I think he has taken a jump on that end. And then, I don't know if you noticed it, but the last two games, mm-hmm. he's hit about a 12 or 15 footer.
Right.
He hit one from the baseline in that short corner the other day, and then now he's hit one, I think, at the elbow in the last game. So the fact that he's able to do that would be incredible for that offense. You could play him longer with Zion. He can become a threat there. He can start to move some stuff around. But I'd argue, I think I said this during the game last night, I'd argue this is probably his best three-game stretch as a Pelican.
Yeah.
And I said that, I think, in the first quarter. Like, he didn't have to play any more minutes in that game. he has just been very, very good. He almost looked like a different player than what he was a month ago.
So I think it'll be interesting to see how it happens tonight and stuff, because I think the other aspect of it, too, and I'm just going to wrap up by asking you, what am I paying attention to in tonight's game is we all remember the Jazz and their bubble run there and what they can do. And I'm waiting for pick and rolls. I know the threes here as well. They got a pretty good dynamic point guard in Spider. So, I think my key is guard play. How's the Pels backcourt ready to handle, I guess, the Jazz? Am I wrong on that?
I mean, it's that and it's three-point defense. That's what's going to be the key tonight. It's going to be three-point defense. And it's going to be if Zion can get going. He had success against Rudy Gobert. Remember that. That was like that preseason game was the game, and I was like, okay, this kid can do this. When he went through Gobert's chest a couple times to hit some layups, can you get him going like he was going last 2 nights ago in Sacramento? He was 13 for 15. You get him going like that, defend three, you can pull out a victory.
Andrew Lopez, as always, appreciated joining. Got a message for Andrew?
Thank you for coming on the show, Andrew. Always a pleasure talking to you, even though you might be giving me the finger right now.
Wow. Wow. You see, why couldn't you just stop with that?
I let you in on my... I gave you a very...
He did ask you to add to his sentence.
You're right. I appreciate you letting me, at least come on and finish your sentence.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yep.
Now you get two fingers.
Oh.
Andrew Lopez, give him a follow over on Twitter. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, man. What is going on between the Saints and LSU? Amy, Justin, and I will discuss that next on ESPN New Orleans. Yikes.
Wendy's new classic chicken sandwich is now in the 2 for $5. And that's reason to celebrate. Try the new classic and then take your mouth on a victory lap with the iconic Dave's single. The delicious spicy chicken sandwich, spicy or crispy 10-piece nuggets, or just get another classic chicken sandwich. Taste greatness today with Wendy's 2 for $5. We got you.
For a limited time, a la carte only. Price and participation may vary. U.S. Wendy's.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
How you hear the song? I know. I'm trying. Is that no? It's not doing it for you, Jordan. Are we okay?
I think a lot of LSU Tiger fans are not happy right
now. It is what it is. Amy Josh, she's joined us throughout the season. Covers the Saints for the Picayune and, of course, the Advocate. Amy, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I am participating in my least favorite ritual of the season. On Mondays, after the season ends, the players have their locker room clean out. And on Tuesday, I have cleaned my damn house. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I know. Hate it.
I know. It stinks. I wish I could be asking you about a win, a hard-fought win, or a big win, or just a win, and then getting ready to go freeze, over there in Green Bay, but we're not. I want to get to that game, but because of where we are in the week in the news, let's kind of start with some of the stuff that's happened and hit already this morning. We'll start with a player bit of news, and then we'll go to perhaps some coaching changes and some things that are going on. But Michael Thomas, report came out by Adam Schefter this morning, likely going to have surgery on what is deltoid and other ligaments in that high ankle injury that he suffered early in the season. He reported that he didn't even practice most of the time, but he wanted to play because he thought it was Drew's last season. Could that have explained perhaps why he didn't have any catches on Sunday?
Yes and no. If you look back at the last three or four playoff losses that the Saints have had, one statistic that stands out is Michael Thomas is nowhere to be found. Before he got hurt, after he got hurt, like, that has remained the same. I do think that played into it a little bit. I mean, look at Alvin last year, right? He played. He admitted he wasn't 100%, and his production suffered. And I think the same could be said of Mike, though he did miss a lot more time than Alvin did, to be fair. But, man, he wasn't playing like the same person that he is when he's healthy. And you could see it. You could see it for sure.
I think it's one of those things that when you look at back in that game, and we will here in a second, as to get another disappointing season, disappointing end, and it's something that was thrown out there that, you know, you look at and you're kind of puzzled. You know, 49 wins over four seasons, our question of the day, Amy, that we're throwing out to listeners, is there an overall reason? Is it every year is different? But why do you think the Saints haven't gone to the Super Bowl in this four-year little window here, haven't won that many games?
I think it comes down to two things, right? Execution, for one. Just because you win in the regular season doesn't mean that you're going to win in the postseason. I know this as a graduate of the University of Kansas who loves basketball. They won how many straight regular season titles? 13, 14, and made it and won, what, two titles? So sometimes in the postseason, it just doesn't happen. For the Saints specifically, I think the first two can be, you can chalk it up to a fluke, you know, the Minnesota Miracle and the no call. The Saints had to put themselves in those positions to not win, right? Like, in that NFC Championship game didn't need to go to overtime. It didn't need to get there. I wasn't on the beat for the Minnesota Miracle, so I can't speak to everything that happened in that game. But last year against Minnesota, you know, you can point to, he pushed off. They both pushed off. There was contact on both sides. If you wanted to throw a flag there, it would have been offsetting penalties and they would have replayed the down, which would have been better anyway, but they could have played a lot better in that game. And then this time, four turnovers.
Yeah.
You can't shoot yourself in the foot and expect to win like that. Like, you can overcome two. You can maybe overcome three. But four? No. And especially with the field position that it gave Tampa Bay, right? Because you look at Tom Brady's stats from that game, and they don't jump off the page. But they didn't have to, because he had such a short field to work with every time they scored touchdowns. And all of them came off of turnovers.
Yeah, I found myself, Amy, at the end of that first quarter, really feeling like I was watching a replay of that NFC Championship game. You know, I'm sitting on the couch. My wife goes, "What's your problem?" I'm like, "It's over." She's like, "What are you talking about? Like, they just scored. They're up 6-0. I'm like, "Those field goals need to be touchdowns." Did you get that sense and feeling in the dome watching this game that you're kind of not putting a team away? But Amy, they went for it on the 35-yard line, I believe, in that first quarter on 4th-and-1.
Yeah. Yep. I remember saying to myself when Jared Cook fumbled the ball, this ball game, it's over. You can't play conservative. Like, you can't do that. Like, I thought that, you know, it was good that Will Lutz is making his field goals, right? But that should have been a touchdown. And I believe that that Michael Thomas non-touchdown was a touchdown. I don't. And then that Deontay touchdown that got called back due to a block in the back. Like, they could have won that game. They could have, in spite of all of the turnovers. But they didn't. And dwelling on it only seems to make people angry. So.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. I speak with Amy Just, covers the Saints. We're going to get into a couple of big news and tidbits and some interesting things going on between LSU and the Saints, and maybe now we understand in more context why. But one final thing on Sunday. You were one of the people that posted videos and pictures, obviously, of Drew hanging out there for a while on the field. The farewell with Tom, yeah, who throws a corner touchdown pass to his son. Amy, it's done, right? I mean, it's just, we're just waiting for the presser.
Yeah, so the Brees family, not this year, of course, because of COVID, but they usually hang out on the field after games. That's a normal ritual for them. But they don't do that for 2 hours. They don't take tons of family pictures. They don't give a ton of hugs, right? And then the moment that did it for me was before that. It was when Tom Brady was kneeling out the ball. Or kneeling the ball down for running out the clock or whatever. And nobody was standing next to Drew. And then Jameis Winston came over and gave him a hug. And I'm like, it's over. It's done. Like, and then that even more cemented into my mind when Drew ran off the field. He blew his kisses or whatever. He does that every week.
Right.
He doesn't look back at the field.
Yep.
Like, he's never done that. And then when Tom Brady came over and chatted with him for 15 or so minutes and then gave him a hug, no, it's over.
Right. That's not, I'll see you next season. Exactly.
No. And that, I'm like, all right, it's over. And then the Brees family didn't leave the field for 2 hours. And to me, even though Drew hasn't said with his words that he's done, his actions spoke like a man saying goodbye. And I don't think he could bring himself to leave. Like, if it probably was up to him, he probably would have stayed in there for a lot longer. But, you know, he's got four kids under the age of 13 that needed to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way past their bedtime. Believe me, my four-year-old at 6:30, I'm looking at my wife. It's bath time. Speaking with Amy Just, we're going to talk a lot more about that quarterback position, if you can, next Tuesday, if you'd like to come in and chat a little bit about that, about all the different moves, because they do have a lot to do, and we only have 3 minutes left. So let's get to the topics of newsworthiness right now, because for the first time in a while, Amy, Sean Payton's staff's going to be shook up here. So let's start with what we already know. It's been official, okay? So Terry Fontenot officially named general manager of the Atlanta Falcons.
Good for Terry. And every Saints fan should be happy for him. I know you don't like the Falcons. Be happy for Terry Fontenot. He deserves this. He absolutely deserves this. And if you want to be selfish about it, okay, 2 comp picks. There you go.
True. The fact that several former players and current players, Teron Armstead this morning tweeting that he deserves and very happy for him, that's a good thing when players think that that's deserving. He's a former player, so that's great for him. Dan Campbell, assistant head coach. He's going to be the Lions head coach after he finishes his exit interviews. That's a big loss as well, right?
Yeah, big loss, but good for Dan. His players love him. He's a player coach, and he's been with the Lions before, and he's everything that Matt Patricia isn't. So if they want to do a true rebuild after the dumpster fire that Matt Patricia left them, Dan Campbell's a good hire.
Ryan Nielsen, that defensive line for the Saints has been excellent. You've seen a lot of growth and a lot of players really improve. Not named Cam Jordan, Onyemata, even Trey Hendrickson, you name it. LSU interviewed him to be defensive coordinator. Looked like it was going in that direction. Then some surprise news this morning. Exactly. T-Bob and everybody's having a conniption fit saying, why did it happen? It looks like Sean stopped it, but for good reason. Why, Amy?
It's in his contract. If you can't, like, if I don't have his, I don't have his contract, mm-hmm. but it's reported that he, like, you can't make that move to college in his contract. So if it's in the contract, he can't do it, even if he wants to. So that's awkward, and I hope that the Saints can figure out a way to make that less awkward, because on one hand, it's like, if you want to leave, let him leave.
But I don't want to interrupt you, but Mike Triplett just tweeted that Ryan Nielsen's going to get a new 3-year contract and added the title of assistant head coach with the Saints per source. There you go. So maybe that's the reason why he stopped them on that aspect of it. Again, this is all happening in the last 5 to 10 minutes. So there you go. Amy, we need you next Tuesday to talk a little bit more about it, since you hear the music and I'm up against it. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it. Happy Tuesday to you as well. At Amy_Justice, the way to follow her over on Twitter. She covers the Saints, the Picayune, and, of course, the Advocate. The Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans. One man, what happened to her plan?
She was going to be an actress. Join us for the Start of Something New sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat in Houma. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
Without more licensed workers, Gary's roofing business might hit its ceiling.
Hey, that new contract just got pushed up. We are going to need all hands on deck to make this happen.
Hey, Gary, you booked me on that other job next week.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
There it is. I was waiting for the drop, Jordan. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the situation and the conversation. Andrew Lopez already in. Amy Joss is giving us her take. We've got so much to get into with the Saints over the next couple of days, of course. Jordan. I want to delve in this. I want to hear your opinion about, what your take on the Ryan Nielsen situation, because Twitter is blowing up right now. T-Bob from off the bench in the morning, Brody Miller tweeted earlier that this was not Ryan Nielsen not wanting to be the LSU defensive coordinator. And initially, Sean Payton apparently stopped it. But I wrote down on the legal pad when I saw that tweet, as we were calling Amy, I said, I wonder if he's going to be named the new assistant head coach. That's an elevation in title. There's no doubt more money. And that puts you on a path to possibly at least to interview for a potential head coaching position in the future in the NFL. I'm not saying that defensive coordinator at an SEC school at LSU is a bad position. Clearly, he interviewed for it. Clearly, LSU's Coach Ogeron wanted him. Thought it'd be a good fit. Ryan Nielsen's done a great job with the D-line. One of the things the Tigers need to do better is their D-line, right? And provide that pressure. Makes sense. But for the people that are upset, the NFL's the NFL. And I don't know about you. Maybe this is just me. Maybe this is just me. But you just had a defensive coordinator that, like, week two or three. Now, I get their defense didn't play well. And I went through some of the reasons I went through it. Look, you didn't have leaders. You didn't have lumps taken. You know, it's fine. You put on the jersey and you think you're as good as they got. But you lost NFL players. You lost NFL starters. You've heard me mention before, next man up. That's a great phrase, and it's a great philosophy. But that next man up needs to be as good. It's why we thought the Saints were so good this season. When they lost players, the next man up was actually really good. You didn't miss the beat. But for the next men up that were playing for the Tigers on defense, A, it was a completely different philosophy than you recruited those players to the previous defense. So part of that's on O. But I don't know, maybe I'm sitting here going, you know, I don't know. I guess, yes, if it comes calling, if it's a pay raise, it's an opportunity for me, sure, maybe if I want to be a head coach in college or that helps me and all those different things. But, I mean, from talk shows to fans to you name it, people wanted Bo Pelini fired like week three. I don't know if that has bearing on things. Future candidates, look, I mean, obviously you're going to get elevated if you're an assistant or have a job that haven't been a coordinator. Look, it's an attractive job. I'm not saying it's not. But I don't know about you. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised by the amount of LSU fans right now saying that this is a bad thing for Ryan Nielsen. He's getting a brand new 3-year contract. He's been elevated to assistant head coach. He's next to Sean Payton now in terms of the final word. If Sean can't coach a game, has COVID, gets suspended, something, he is the head coach. Duties and titles can learn. And I don't know about you, I would much rather be a head coach in the NFL than a defensive coordinator anywhere, much less college. Very prestigious job. That said, it is interesting that this came down today. I wonder if that was what the sweetener had to be. Because if it was a situation, per Twitter and reports, where Sean Payton blocked it because it was written in his contract that he could, Dan signed the contract. Sean may, you know, have used it and maybe to sweeten the pot or to make sure that the relationship worked good. Hey, we're going to make you assistant head coach, and here's a brand new deal. That's a pay raise. But it is interesting because now LSU's gone after two people that they wanted as defensive coordinator, and they have not locked them down. I'm sure Matt will have a lot to say about this coming up at 3 o'clock. He had a lot to say about them losing out on the first candidate and now not having this in that relationship. It's going to be very interesting to see how it sort of goes. Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated just tweeted, LSU and Ryan Nielsen had verbally struck a deal, sources tell Sports Illustrated, but citing language in his contract, Sean Payton declined to release him. And this isn't the first time, apparently. LSU and Nielsen's attorneys objected. In the end, Nielsen got a new deal with the Saints.
It has nothing to do with Sean Payton.
Well, no, it does. He objected. Well, he didn't want it to happen. And then when attorneys got involved, and it looked like the Saints and Sean Payton said, we'll give you a new deal. What's interesting is Ross Dellinger saying this isn't the first time. So that makes me believe that Ryan Nielsen perhaps had been suited by other college teams, perhaps, or other teams.
Well, I feel like if he wanted to really leave, I think he could have broken the contract, correct?
No. It's in his contract. It's language in there. That's why the attorneys and Nielsen and LSU's attorneys objected. But apparently there was something in that contract to it, and I guess instead of maybe going the legal battle here, The Saints just offered him a new contract and a new title. Either way, for those LSU fans that are absolutely convinced Sean Payton hates LSU, this is probably not going to help, is it?
Not at all.
I look, let me just say this. I don't think it's because he hates LSU. I think it comes down to this, which we never even got with Amy. Aaron Glenn, defensive backs coach, won't get the head coaching jobs right now, per Ian Rappaport. But there are a lot of teams interested with their new hires in him as a defensive coordinator. Jordan, I wonder if Atlanta, who introduced their head coach today, and Terry Fontenot, being their GM coming from the Saints today, I wonder if Aaron Glenn gets a look-see with the Falcons. I love Aaron Glenn. I think Aaron Glenn will eventually be a head coach in this league. Defensive backs coach, the next step for him, defensive coordinator. And the report from Ian is what, Jordan? That's going to happen, right?
Yeah, as soon as he finishes his exit interviews with his former...
No, that's Dan Campbell. I'm talking about Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
So, again, it's very interesting to see where this is going to go. But Aaron Glenn, again, if he leaves, if Dan Campbell leaves, right?
Yeah.
I think if you're the same, if you're Sean, I mean, you got to try to keep as much brain as possible.
Yeah.
So, I believe me, Twitter is going bananas right now. Message boards going bananas.
There's a lot of moving parts right now.
But I do not think it's Sean Payne going, bleep LSU. It could be. I don't know. One of his famous nicknames is Petty Sean. Right? He could just be like, you know what? They did it to me once with Joe Brady. They're not doing it. I don't think that. I think it's legitimate. You want to keep as many good coaches in the building as possible. I could be completely wrong. I'll take your phone calls, though. You want to give them to me. What do you think, Jordan? Do you think he hates LSU?
No, I mean, I think like a lot of people are saying, I have to agree with them. I mean, if you're going to read a contract and you're going to sign a contract, you know everything that's involved in that contract. So, you know, there might be a possibility if you do your job well that you could get a job somewhere else as a college, you know, assistant or some other nature. And you have to look into that. And once you sign a contract, I feel like you have to...
But at the same time, and Matt just tweeted this, and again, he's coming up at 3 o'clock, and here's the bigger, I wouldn't say issue, but the biggest question of this is why? Again, to me, my why is you want to keep as many good coaches as possible. But as he said, Ryan Nielsen isn't staying in New Orleans because he got a raise and a title, which I do think is a way to help him. But he says this was done to pacify him after the organization blocked his move to LSU. The real question is, why would they block that move? Petty or not, there are protocols involved in pursuing coaches. That's my thing here. Before you interview Ryan Nielsen, would you not know that language is there? Did you not know that Sean Payton would block you? Now, this is a completely different argument and conversation if Sean at first said, no worries. But Ross Dellinger tweeted, not the first time. So Sean's done this before. So would you not know that before you got into this conversation?
He did this with Aaron Glenn, I want to.
So, interesting. Sports Hangover continues next. Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring.